Hi, and welcome to another edition of Visions. With me, Yudalee Wickham Ashby. And today, I'm deeply honored to have as my guest, the most honorable Kerri-Anne Eitel. Welcome to Visions, Kerri-Anne.
Thank you for having me, Yudalee. I seem to always be here, so I feel like I'm home.
That's wonderful. I'm glad you feel so comfortable that you're willing to come on anytime and talk about any topic.
Yeah.
Yes. Today, Kerri-Anne, I want us to really take a look at two significant days for the blind and visually impaired. And one of them was October 10th, World Sight Day. And the other one is White Cane Day.
On October 15th, yes.
Correct. And I know that the National United Society of the Blind will be celebrating on October 15th. So let us start, though, by looking at World Sight Day, October 10th. Tell us a little about that and why you think it is so significant.
It's significant because it's a day when we encourage the world to reflect on their sight, the importance of it, protecting it, taking care of it, but also to recognize the achievements of persons who are blind and visually impaired. I don't like the term in spite of and overcoming and all of those things. I prefer to look at it the way that people in the National Federation of the Blind, people in the World Blind Union, and they say that, you know, we as blind people, we live the life we choose. And that is the world we want to see. A lot of us don't get to live that life, but they encourage persons who are blind and visually impaired to live the life they want to live, to engage in the activities they want to engage in, and to create a society that enables those opportunities to flow. So that's what World Sight Day is all about, creating the opportunities for persons who are blind, partially sighted. You know, it is amusing to me how many terms they've got out there. Now the new one is persons living with vision loss, profound vision loss, and blah, blah. Me, I'm just totally blind. And whatever the case is, however we look at it, I think it is most important that we acknowledge that we have value.
Of course. And I think one of the areas that I'm really concerned about is how most sighted people do not value their vision. You know, yeah. We're often told that we should go to the ophthalmologist at least once a year. And mm-hmm. if you have like an eye condition or an eye disease, at least twice a year or as often as recommended by your mm-hmm. professional. I have encountered so many individuals who have not gone to an eye specialist in 3 years, 5 years, you know, yeah. plus. And I'm thinking, but how do you care about your sight?
You know? The part that disturbs me really is, as you know, I work at the National Disabilities Unit Administering Technology Program. And I also run a program called Transitions, and that's a 10-week support group program for persons coming to terms with their vision loss. Mm-hmm. And every session I've had about 6 groups of transitions, and every time it's a whole lot of bitterness, and they're bitter because they've lost their vision. And we get that, we understand that. I'm not saying people should turn cartwheels because they've lost their vision, because it's a whole new way of life. But at least one person, and it's not only one, but at least one person in every group is angry at themselves because they ignored warning signs. They ignored their doctor's recommendations. They ignored a whole host of things until it was too late. It's not a situation in every case. It's not everybody is like that, but they have all this anger against themselves. And it makes their transition to living with vision loss a lot harder, because they're blaming themselves. Now, I do agree that any condition you have, you should pay attention to it, take your medication, go to the doctor as recommended, and all of the other things. But we're only human as well. And if the worst comes to the worst, your anger is natural, it's real, but there also comes a time when you need to set it aside in order to grow and move past it. Because mm-hmm. until you do, you're going to remain an embittered person without the quality of life. We in the National United Society of the Blind, we say there is life after blindness. But you can't understand that until you set your anger down.
Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things that I want to pick upon that you just said, Kerri-Anne, is that there is life after blindness. Mm-hmm. And only A few weeks ago, running up the stairs at my workplace, a gentleman said to me, "You know, I admire the joy of life that I see you exude, because there are so many persons who are living but not really enjoying their life." And he was like, "But you know, and you can't even see. And that is so amazing that you're running up these stairs and there are others who don't even want to walk." I said, "Because I value life. I value my life. Even though I do not have 20/20 vision, I still appreciate the fact that I'm alive and that I'm able to contribute to my own development and my country's development through the work I do."
True.
I think if a lot more people took that attitude of appreciating themselves and what they have, as you said, they would not feel so bitter, so angry, so frustrated, and all the other emotions that sometimes, if you don't keep them in check, can really put your life topsy-turvy.
You know, there are times when I encounter people and they say things like, for example, I came across a blind woman who said she doesn't need to put on makeup or do her nails or anything because she can't see them. And she doesn't want a man. She doesn't need a relationship. So she doesn't need to dress up. I get my nails done every month. I get my facials and what's not. And I do it for me.
Mm-hmm.
I do it for me. I feel good about myself. I feel confident about myself when I know that I take care of myself. And if I don't feel like getting my nails done, guess what? I feel good too. Because I'm a woman. I happen to be blind. Some people can't deal with it. You know, they say the divorce rate among the blind and visually impaired, especially since that's what we're focusing on, they say that the relationships are really low. The successful ones are really low among the blind and visually impaired. And I am really curious about why that is so. I have many theories, which I will not take up the rest of your show about. But my thing is, part of the reason too, though, is a lot of people shy away because they think it's going to be so hard, so difficult. I came across an article recently about a woman who was writing about living alone as a blind person after 18 years of marriage, 14 of which she was fully sighted and lost her vision in the last 4 years. And her marriage ended. And she said her blindness contributed to it. Now, I expected that the next couple of paragraphs would have been an outpouring about her husband not understanding her and the blindness and blah, 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 blah. But what it was is she said she lost her job. She lost her confidence. She lost her independence. She lost her joy and she lost her motivation. Her husband became her caregiver instead of her husband because out of love for her, he tried to protect her from everything. So she became a recluse in the house because she couldn't leave the house without him. Not that he told her not to, but she didn't learn how to use her cane or anything. So she couldn't leave the house without him. And he didn't encourage her to. She couldn't cook because he took on all the cooking. He took on all the bill paying. He took on everything. And so she became a burden because her blindness robbed both of them of the life that they had chosen to have before it. It didn't have to be like that.
No. And this speaks to another significant day that we also celebrated on October 10th, World Mental Health Day.
Yes, please. You know,
and like we were saying earlier, we also have to adjust our emotions to cope, to manage, and to live with the impairments, the illness, the disability that we encounter in our lives. And good mental health means that we acknowledge our emotions, whether we think they're negative or positive, and we not only acknowledge them, but we learn to deal with each emotion. We need to be a bit honest about the emotions we're experiencing and how it makes us feel, how our vision loss makes us, and what do we need to improve that emotion so that we have an even balance of emotions and coping mechanisms.
This is how I see it. If my Lord Jesus can go in the temple and get vexed and skin up tables, it means he was angry. My God got angry. Right? If they, the most supreme beings, exhibited anger, then anger is not a negative emotion, contrary to what a lot of people said. If my Lord wept at the depth of his friend, as our Bible tells us he did when he wept when Lazarus died, it means that sadness is a pure emotion. There's happiness, there's sadness, there's all of these things. sometimes we dwell too much on the negative emotions and we don't share them with people around us because we don't want to. You know, one of the saddest things I hear all the time is in conversations with people who are blind and visually impaired, hearing that they've lost all these friends, they've lost all this, they've lost all that. And I think sometimes we need to embrace and understand. Yeah, so as I said, there are lots of emotions and we need to pull them out and look at all of them. I no longer inhabit a space of anger. I've never been angry about being blind. I'm angry about so many things it keeps me from sometimes, but I'm not angry about it. But in any event, good mental health means achieving balance.
Correct. Yes. So, Carrie, I know another big event that's coming up or significant day is White Cane Day on October 15th. But the day before, the National United Society of the Blind will be hosting an event to commemorate this day and bring greater awareness around the White Cane Day. So, first of all, tell us what is a white cane, or some people call it a traveling cane? Explain to us what that is and the importance of it to the blind and visually impaired.
As I'm speaking to you, Yudli, I'm looking at the World Blind Union's press release that they're encouraging all of their members, the National United Society of the Blind Barbados is one of them, to put out on White Cane Safety Day. And it encapsulates exactly what you just asked in its heading. And it says, White Cane Safety Day, October 15th, mark a timeless tool. Hear that? A timeless tool for independence and safety. And that is what a white cane is, a symbol of independence, a tool for independence, and it supports our safety. The white cane is that long tubular object that you see most blind and visually impaired people carrying. In the past, a totally white cane signified that the carrier was totally blind. A cane with red accents meant that you were visually impaired. But times have changed, people have changed. You know, everybody doesn't understand the different color schemes. And hey, why can't we be trendy too? So there are colored canes now. I have me a green one. I had a purple one. So I love me my colored canes. There are different types and styles. There's a straight cane, one that doesn't collapse. There's the collapsible cane that folds into its constituent parts. There are the telescoping canes, which,
And I have one of those.
yes, I call that my cocktail cane because
Yes.
those retract into themselves. And there are now the fancier canes that have navigation built into them.
Yes.
There are people that use guide dogs. There's a new thing called the Glide, which is kind of a robot. It's like if you don't want a guide dog and you don't want to use a cane. And the white cane is now being paired with a lot of other safety things, the
Yes.
GPS and the wayfinding apps and so on for the blind and visually impaired. You've got a lot of fancified tools and accessories. But that's it. Basic constituents. The white cane is that long, straight object we walk with. Because as they go on to say in the press release, technology can fail. There are days when you forget to charge your battery. I forgot to charge mine today. There are times when the Wi-Fi goes down. I think the whole of Barbados knows that one last Saturday. There are times when a whole host of different things can happen to the technology. But the cane, unless people step on it, break it, run over it with a car, yes, these are all things that have happened. Unless those things happen, then yeah, that's what your white cane is there for.
Right. Okay, so let's hear now about your big event taking place on Monday.
On Monday, we're having a walk about warrants. That's what we're calling it, walk about warrants. And now, Yudli, you work in warrants, so I don't have to tell you. A lot of government agencies have moved out of town and they've now been relocated to several different buildings in the Warrens area. Now, Warrens was not designed for pedestrians, it was designed for vehicles, right? But as times have changed, as the things have changed, we've got bus stops. Ergo, you're going to have pedestrians. And so there are a lot of things that could improve the level of mobility in the area for pedestrians. And not just the blind and visually impaired, but pedestrians in general, persons with
Yes.
disabilities. In addition to the government agencies, you've got a lot of commercial undertakings. You've got I think it's about three banks in the area, could be four. Don't quote me on that. We've got credit unions, at least two in the area. You've got supermarkets. You've got, I call it
Our
the
food
Bermuda Quadrant.
outlets.
That's what I was about to say. I call it Bermuda Quadrangle because there are four fast food outlets in the area. You've got Trini Doubles, you've got other food options, you've got your fine dining because you've got Lucky Horseshoe, you've got computer stores, you've got a bit of everything. You've got malls, you've got shoe repairs. There are very few things that you need to go into Bridgetown for anymore, right? I think there's even a post office outpost or
Yes, there's
whatever.
a post office, there's a barber shop, there's a lady that does alterations to clothes. So,
Oh,
yes,
yeah,
it's.
there's everything up here. And people always compliment me on my attire. So I may want to go across with the lady that does alterations, right? You've got our dear president, Mr. Granville Carter, Mr. Elvis Maloney. These men always on the road. Their shoes going to need repairing, you know? We have people that own land. One of my students, he owns a plot of land in St. Philip and he's farming. He's a small farmer. He's totally blind. You know, he might need to go to the land registry to talk about his boundary lines. And of course, you've got the ID cards. You've got a place to collect those up here. No, they ain't got the place for the marriage certificates yet, but who knows? That could be up here too. Bra is up here. There's a whole host of things. Customs office, the ministry with responsibility for persons with disabilities is up here. The offices of the National Disabilities Advocate, Senator Chad Blackman, Ministry of Labor, the Labor Department. So that tells you that you've got a lot of reason for a lot of people to be up here. And our walk is not a protest walk. It is an awareness raising that, hey, we're out here and we're doing business too. And we want to
Our safety
encourage
needs to be
to be, part of
paramount.
the priorities. Yeah, definitely. And we also want to call attention to the vehicles. Now, if they don't have the curb cuts and the sounding traffic lights and that kind of thing, the drivers are not going to be necessarily looking out for us. The drivers look out for you when you're coming down Bay Street because that's a corridor of passage for a lot of blind people coming down from the Center for the Blind and Deaf. So you might find drivers a little bit more aware. You might find in Collymore Rock area that they take a little bit more in the Garrison area. And that's because those are hubs of activity for persons who have disabilities. You've got National Disabilities Unit in one and the Barbados Council for the Disabled in the other. But up here, you may not find a lot of people thinking that way. So we want to draw attention to the fact that we are on the road. You can't pigeonhole and say, oh, they're going to only be on Bay Street or X Street or Y Street. We can be anywhere. So you need to be aware, stay cautious, stay alert, that kind of thing. Understand that when you see the white cane or any colored cane in the hand of a blind person extended, give way, those kinds of things. So that's what the White Cane Safety Day Walkabout Warrens is all about.
And are you expecting a large number of blind and visually impaired persons?
Well, I am supported by a good team, and we are working assiduously to make sure that a lot of people are members. We sent out the invitation to the member organizations of the Barbados Council for the Disabled to come out and support the walk on Monday. So, yeah, we're
Lovely.
hoping to have a group of canes just clickety-clacketing, keeping some noise coming across the street.
Okay, cool. Well, Carrie, I think the awareness is definitely needed to be heightened because Warrens is a difficult area to traverse as a pedestrian. And I think we need to build greater awareness around that so that more attention can be given to possible solutions to enable blind, visually impaired, people with disabilities, the elderly, mothers with children, just regular pedestrians to have a safer passage in traversing through the Warrens area.
Definitely.
Now, Kerry, technology as we know has significantly improved the quality of life for persons who are blind and visually impaired. You are
Definitely.
a consultant working with blind and visually impaired in the technological area. Share with us what more would you like to see regarding the technology and the availability of technology devices for the blind and visually impaired because they're still relatively expensive.
No. Let me stop you right there. They're not relatively expensive. I used to use a joke, blindness is a habit I can't afford. it is still relevant today in relatively expensive, it's extremely expensive. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. There is a braille display. Traditionally, it has one line of refreshable braille. Now, a lot of people think that braille is obsolete, but that's a different conversation. You can invite me back. We can have that discussion for 200th anniversary of braille coming off the 4th of January. But one of the newest devices on the market is called the Monarch. It is a 10-line 32-cell braille display. For us, that is like the holy grail for us braille readers, because now we can get mathematical drawings and what's not rendered across 10 lines. We can now see the working in the math questions and stuff laid out. I have, my sweetheart, my little boy that goes to Harrison College. No, I didn't give birth to him, but he's my child as far as I'm concerned. And he said to me yesterday, he wants to be an engineer. So he needs to see graphs. I've got another young man who just graduated from the Dighton Griffith Secondary. He wants to undertake a career in music. So a device like this would come in handy for both of them, one to read braille music, the other to engage in his STEM subjects. You want to hazard a guess at the cost of one of those devices?
No, please.
$20,000, Miss Lady, 20,000.
Ooh.
Oh, sorry, US.
Well, it is expensive, and the
Yes,
majority
it
of
is.
persons who are blind and visually impaired in Barbados are unemployed.
All right,
Some may
well,
be.
let's stick a pin in that one. That's why I brought up the subject of the expense. Because, okay, the average you and me, we're not going to need a device that expensive. But computers are beyond the reach of some blind and visually impaired persons. A cell phone. I had one blind woman who took out a small loan to be able to buy the blind shell, which is a smartphone designed for the blind. It has an old phone case, so it has the buttons and stuff, right? And some people who don't like the interacting with the touch screens. But that phone retails for 500 plus US dollars. Yes, you have other smartphones, the Androids that are cheaper. The challenge with the cheaper Androids is that they don't work well with the talk back on those. And the iPhones, everybody says those are expensive. They're pricey, but they're reliable, right?
And they give greater accessibility to the blind and visually impaired because you can use them very independently without needing
Girlfriend.
another person to really assist you as much as if you're using the Android systems.
Well, I bias, so I ain't responding to that one
Well,
because you know me, I love
I
me
have
an Apple.
experienced both, so I can do the
Yes,
comparison.
I love the Apple. I've always been partial to Apples. Too much the Kit Kats and stuff, as the Android OSs used to be called, by the different candy. Too much of that sugar ain't good for you. So that's my theory. But all of that being said, it would be what I'd love to see is I have a dream to start a project to get more cell phones and devices into the hands of blind and visually impaired. It's a project of mine. I won't go too far. It's an idea that I think we could definitely use here in Barbados. So my project, I'd love to see, and this has nothing to do with me personally now, but in general, I'd love to see more persons having access, not just the blind and visually impaired, but since we're talking about those, having access to devices. Because a cell phone in the hands of anybody these days is a very important tool, but for us, it expands a lot of things. I've gone through this with you already, the things that I use my cell phone for,
It's
right?
very liberating because many persons are restricted in their ability to read since they don't have a device, and we cannot always rely on another person to read the newspapers to us or to read text to us.
And again, sometimes we need to remember that people have their own commitments, their own things going on. So
Correct.
I know of a couple that the husband sits and reads the newspaper to his wife every day, cover to cover. That is a phenomenal thing. But he's retired now. You're a young, strong, fit girl, Yulee. Your hubby could be a working man. I'm not talking your business. I'm speaking in general terms here. You could have a that can't have the time. He'd love to sit down and read the newspaper to you cover to cover, but he can't do it. Not with the time frame he needs to get to work. And guess what? Yulee's a strong, young, fit woman that has to go to work too. So she should be able to access her reading material on her terms, not on everybody else's terms. Right? I was cooking and I reached into the cupboard and picked up a can that I thought was a can of corn. but I didn't have to call and ask anybody what it was. I went to one of my technological devices and I knew I had my can of corn, you know? And that's the kind of thing we need in this life.
Yes, we really need the technology at an affordable rate so that we're able to use it extensively for greater independence, for greater mobility, for just an ease in life, you know? And I think we really need to talk to our importers. I see you smile.
Of course. Of course. You know, don't get me started, Yuli, because you know I could talk forever on technology.
Yes, but I still think there needs to be a greater conversation about how can we make technology more accessible to people with disabilities,
And
especially
it go
the.
but the thing is too, it goes beyond the mobile devices though. It goes beyond the laptops. And I'll tell you why I say that. The ATM machines, this is something I keep going on about. I should not have to have anybody all up in my Kool-Aid if I go to the ATM machine and I want to withdraw money that has nothing to do with anybody else in my family, unless I choose it to be. It should be my choice. I don't have that choice. I do not. Right? And there are a lot of other things. When I go to the airport, you know what's one of the things I love? That they have the immigration form online that I can fill in before I come in because the kiosks aren't accessible. And don't let
No, they're
I'm not
not.
crying down Barbados because go through most airports, you're not going to find any of those kiosks accessible. One or two, but not all of them. You know, I would like to see, you know, a lot of different machines. I was in Kenya earlier this year and I was brokenhearted. I went to buy some souvenirs. And when I got to the counter to pay, all of their point of sale machines are touch screen. So I had to let a perfect stranger put in my PIN code for me. Right? That should never be.
Well, Carrie, the point is that we really need to raise the level of advocacy around the need by persons with disabilities, especially those with vision impairments, for greater access and affordability to the technology. In this 21st century, as you said, it's heartbreaking that many persons with disabilities are unable to afford the cost of technology. A basic laptop, you know, is still too expensive for
It
the
is. It
average.
is. It
So,
is.
as we do the awareness around the physical environment, we also need to do it around the technological needs of people with disabilities.
There's Global ICT Day. I think it's May the 18th. Don't quote me on that one. And we've been working on bridging the digital divide. There's a lot going on out there. There's a lot of AI. I am excited, thrilled, dancing and singing about a new free AI tool for math for students who are blind and visually impaired. Fantastic stuff is out there.
So
But
we
we
need
need
to
to be
make
able
up.
to do training. And it's not just about making awareness about the access, and we also need more training. So there you go.
Yes. And this is an excellent point that we can pause on for today, Carrie Ann, as we really looked at how we can build greater awareness around our physical environment, especially in the Warrens area. For pedestrians who are blind and visually impaired, and generally pedestrians, as well as the importance of World Sight Day, protecting our sight and just being very vigilant in taking care of our eyesight, having regular checkups, eating healthily, and just generally taking care of ourselves. And the last point we were discussing, how do we make or advocate for technology to become more accessible, more affordable for people with disabilities in Barbados. So, Carrie-Anne, I want to say thank you yet again for coming and chatting with me on such an
Anytime.
important topic. And I hope that our listeners have learned and are willing to commit to also joining us in advocating for a better quality life.
Thank you, Yudeli. Always a pleasure. Chat again soon.
Yes. You have been listening to Visions with me, Yodley Wickham-Ashby, and my very special guest today, Most Honorable Carrie-Anne Ifill. Remember, you can reach out to me on 1-246-269-9660 or 1-246-430-7900. 7300. You can email me on visionsbarbados@gmail.com. And of course, you can check this and past episodes by going to the VOB929.com website. So until next week, I want to tell you, love yourself, love your neighbors just as much as you love yourself. And until then, ciao.